Well, I'm Elaine. I know you all know that. But I'm really nervous. And this is something that's been on my mind for a while. Well, it's Communion Sunday, and our pastor, Nick, he just keeps saying, he won't stop saying it, that if you have anything against another, you need to get it made right before you take communion. And I heard that all my life, but I want you to know how that came full circle here at this church for me. Give you a little background on how I was raised. I was raised in the church. We went every Sunday. We didn't have a choice. My daddy was a big guy. He was a farmer. He farmed land a quarter of a mile from the Marmaton River in southwest Missouri, and it rained a lot there, and we went to church, rain, snow, high water. He didn't put us in danger, but the river flowed out of its banks a lot of times, and there was a road leading up to 54 Highway, and sometimes it got a little water over the road, and he went through the water to get to church. You didn't ever get to lay in bed on Sunday morning. It was up and at him, and he didn't work on Sunday except just enough to take care of the animals, and he had his suit on, and he expected you to have on your best clothes, and we were going to church. And we always went, but I believe that for me, I was in church so much that a lot of things just went in one ear and out the other. And I dealt with that, you know, because I was thinking of doing something else along. But I heard that all my life, you know, if you have something against another, you needed to make it right. And I don't think I had a lot of things against others, but I had something happen here at this church back in the Sunday school class. A lady I didn't know well, she made me mad. And I was a little mad at her for a while. I didn't do something fast enough to suit her. She was on the ball with everything, and I'm kind of laid back. I deserve that. We had three kids, and I'm ready to be kind of laid back. And I didn't move fast enough to suit her. And I'm not telling the whole story of it, but anyway, I chose just to ignore her and not even look at her. But here Nick was. He was saying, if you got anything against another, you should make it right before you take communion. I always thought of it. I didn't think of it too much all through the weeks, but I did think of it when he said that. One Sunday, I just felt somebody's eyes just staring at me. And I had a good idea who it was. But I looked up, and sure enough, it was my little lady from the Sunday school class. She was just really staring at me. And I thought to myself, well, it wasn't my fault. And it wasn't. What happened really wasn't my fault. But the other half of me said, you know, it didn't amount to anything, what happened. It was nothing. Mostly I would forget it until he would say that. He always said it. And I thought, you know, I could go to her and I could say, let's just call that off, let's just forget it and let it be over with, because it was nothing. Because both of us had a lot more problems than that little incident. And that was just nothing, but I didn't do that. I didn't go to her. But it seems like that God kind of works in ways that we don't really know about. But we like to go to a little restaurant out here at the intersection of Kingdom City, and she nearly always went there. She'd sit on one side, of the restaurant, and we'd sit over by the door, but we didn't go every Sunday. But I think she mostly did. And I believe we spoke, but we didn't really have much interaction. Well, one Sunday, we went there. There was a lot of weeks went by, and I mean, it went into a year or more. And when we went in, she was sitting on our side. Believe it or not, she was sitting on our side. So thanks to her, she said in the sweetest little voice, "Will you join me?" And I looked at my husband, who's a really kind person, and I looked in his eyes, and I knew I better say, "Sure, we'll join you." And because she made the move, it was a beginning of forgiveness and friendship that we hadn't had, you know. I didn't think much about the incident, but every time Nick would say that, and he was going to say it every time, and he's going to say it today. And I'm pretty sure. Because I know Nick pretty well, but this lady called him Brother Drake, but I call him Nick. And he was going to say it today. Well, several lunches went by. We had lunch together. That day was special, but we had lunch together several times. And we heard that she fell and fractured her hip. And since we live in Columbia, we went over to University Hospital to see her. And she was pretty surprised, but I think she was really pleased that we came. And we asked if we could do anything, and she's way more independent than I am. And she said, oh no, she was fine. No one was with her, but the pastor, her brother Drake, had been there. And I think maybe her deacon, Jerry, had been there. And we went back in a day or two. And that, again, I believe was God's timing, because she was waiting for the nurses to come and get her for surgery. And this was really troubling to me, because she was all alone. No family there. She had had the church people, some of the church had been there, and of course Nick had been there. But I was really troubled by that, because I've never been alone. I went from my parents' home to my marriage with Ernest, and that was 59 and a half years ago that we've been married. And that's one of my fears, is being alone. But she was okay. But she did ask something of me. Would I sit down on the bed beside her and talk? And so I did. We sat there and talked a little while. And she said, this was another part of the forgiveness and forming a friendship. And she said that she was at peace, that some of the things that had happened in her family were becoming okay. And everything was working out for her, and she was at peace. Well, the surgery went well, and I didn't see her too many times after that. She came back to church once and tripped in with her, drove her car, which was, I thought, pretty gutsy, you know, to drive your car with a fractured hip, you know. But she came tripping in, and Ernest said, "Colleen's here." So I went over. I hadn't mentioned her name till now, but it was Colleen Brown. Most of you probably knew who I was talking about. And I went over and talked to her, and we might have had lunch that day, I don't remember, but I didn't see her too many times after that. But she had her little walker, and she was tripping in. But the point of this is we had time to make things right. Because life is really short when you come down to it. It's really short. And you never know if you're going to have time to make things right. A couple of months later, I don't know if I can get through this or not, the pastor called me on a Friday around noon, and he said, Colleen's very ill. She drove her car to the doctor that morning, and she was put in the hospital. And I said, should we come? The weather was kind of bad. I wasn't feeling real well that day, and the weather was bad, but I said, we will come. And he said, no, he said, she's unresponsive. I couldn't believe it. You know, she had gotten so much better. And 24 hours later, she was gone. And I have a little paragraph on forgiveness that I want to read that I found in my women's Bible. When the warmth of God's love melts and dissolves your spirit, it causes your prayer to ascend to God in a sweet aroma. Thank you.